Blog Talk Radio.
Another show. You are now on Painted Green. This is episode one. This is our debut episode. In Painted Green, this show is going to mostly focus on elections, politics, what the duopoly does, green elections. This is going to be the election hub for politics, and just strictly politics, really, you know, all politics, not really promoting any party, except the Green Party, of course, but this is going to focus on the election politics, you know, Citizens United, money in politics, is going to focus on that kind of thing. So with the first episode, what we're doing is, we are going to deal with the Alabama election and the duopoly manipulation. And that is the title of the show for the debut show. Thank you all for listening in. I'm your host, Tony Smith. And just so you guys know, we're going to try to get more hosts for all of our shows. We're looking to do a 24-hour loop and also allow our affiliates like Zoom Politicon, politics and stuff, Burn Notice, Progressives, Progressive Outlet, True News with Charles Wright, all of these outlets that we're affiliated with, we want to get them all a loop for their shows and make it a 24-hour thing. And then we all play the loops for our live streams for 24-hour periods, but they're all being played at different times. So each outlet that you go to, you'll find a different show playing. So if you don't want to deal with the Green News Network today, you got pissed off at me, you want to go deal with Ian, you can go over to Burn Notice Progressives and watch The Loop, but it'll be in a different area as far as where The Loop is when they're playing it. So you can always see something different. And every 24 hours there will be something different. And we're going to do like 4-hour intervals. Yeah, four or six hour intervals where we're going to play 4 hours worth of material and then loop it for 24 hours for people coming home. You know, some people aren't there in the daytime. Some people see the show at night. And we want everybody to get to see the same show in one 24-hour period. So that's what we're looking to do in the future, in the near future, hopefully. But I'll get that together. Got to get the studio better. We just got to grow a little bit. Don't have much money. Been demonetized, and you know, we're gonna move things forward, and we're gonna support this Green Party and help it grow. So let's get into the show. And I see a bunch of people filing in. Thank you guys for listening in. When I was reporting on this last night, the election at 10:22, it was 50-49. The Republican was ahead. And not 1 hour, hour and 2 minutes later, to be exact, the Democrat had won. How does that happen? I even did a retraction. I said, here's my CNN retraction. Because I was positive that Moore was going to win based on exit polls, based on true polling data, because there are true polling data out there, because I don't pay any attention. And if you Google polls, all you'll see is CNN, CBS, MSNBC. That'll be the first three pages of Google. You got to go to the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth pages to get the independent media. That's what I do. At any rate, I want to start out with Rachel Madcow. Now, in this piece, she tried to go against the Republicans, but what she does is actually make the case for the establishment Republicans helping the Democrats rig this election against Moore. Because how it started out, Mitch McConnell supported another guy, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head. And the non-establishment Republican lost to Mitch McConnell's guy. Then Roy Moore, which is a Trump guy, came in and beat McConnell's guy. So what did that do? That pissed McConnell off, and he got the Democrats to slander Roy Moore and take the seat. And the Democrat that took the seat is a blue dog Democrat. He's a conservative. So he's not even going to do anything that you would want a Democrat to do if you voted for one. This is why we got a hashtag break up the duopoly. It's all a manipulation. It's theater. They got you all up in arms about the Democrat and the Republican, and guess who's laid out there? The Green Party, who's waiting on you guys to get your heads out of your asses. Excuse my language. We've been waiting for you for years. I've been waiting 20. So let's just listen to Rachel Madcow make herself look stupid and actually expose Mitch McConnell and the establishment Republicans. Let's listen.
This was the front page of the Washington Post on November 22nd, 1992, so less than 3 weeks after the big presidential election that year. Packwood accused of sexual advances, alleged behavior pattern counters image. Four-term Republican Senator Bob Packwood of Oregon had just been reelected 3 weeks before. But then there was this bombshell scoop on the front page of the Washington Post spelling out 10 alleged incidents dating back to his first year as a United States Senator. Quote, in some cases, the women said the behavior took place when he'd been drinking. Several said he was abrupt, grabbing them without warning, kissing them forcefully, and persisting until they made clear they were not interested or had pushed him away. Eventually, 19 women in total came forward to accuse Senator Bob Packwood of sexual misconduct. The Senate Ethics Committee opened an investigation into him. They investigated Bob Packwood for 33 months, during which time the Republicans regained control of the Senate from Democrats. Even with Republicans in charge, the committee refused Senator Packwood's repeated requests that he should be allowed to participate in public hearings on the matter. They said no to that. They proceeded on their own terms. And after that 33-month investigation, the Senate Ethics Committee released a report, a 10-volume damning report on Senator Bob Packwood. It was over 10,000 pages long. It weighed 40 pounds. For a while, it made for some non-G-rated reporting on the nightly news.
The committee released more than 10,000 documents, including embarrassing excerpts from Packwood's diary. In them, the senator claims to have had sexual encounters with 22 members of his staff, some in his office, some described in explicit detail. He wrote, "She has the most stunning figure, big breasts. Needless to say, I did not stop myself." He also wrote that it was his Christian duty to make love to one staffer. Even more potentially troublesome, the committee laid out how diaries were altered by Packwood in what was deemed an illegal effort to cover up and obstruct the Senate investigation. The matter was referred to the Justice Department for possible criminal charges.
Senator Bob Packwood had held out for 33 months. But after that 10,000-page report from the Senate Ethics Committee, he quit. He quit that same day. Senator Bob Packwood was done. He resigned before he could get officially expelled from the U.S. Senate. He resigned in tears on the floor of the Senate. And the person who forced that, the chair of that Senate Ethics Committee, who went so far as recommending federal charges against his fellow Republican, who whipped the rest of his committee to vote for a unanimous expulsion vote against Bob Packwood, who rolled out that 40-pound indictment against his fellow Republican to make sure Senator Bob Packwood would resign, the chair of that ethics committee, who played such hardball on that issue, who made all of that happen, was a Republican senator from Kentucky named Mitch McConnell.
The committee has heard enough. The Senate has heard enough. The public has heard enough. The evidence is compelling. And it seems to me the appropriate response would be resignation.
Both senators specifically challenged Packwood's claim that he was at worst guilty of overeagerly kissing women.
He used physical coercion against his victims, frightening them and causing them severe emotional distress.
Mitch McConnell, now the Senate Republican leader, he really did lead the charge against one of his own Republican colleagues in the early 90s, ultimately making sure that Senator Bob Packwood had no friends in the Senate and had no rational choice but to resign. In tears. And as Republicans deal with a not quite exact but weirdly similar situation on their hands now, now a Republican candidate for Senate accused of sexual misconduct against teenagers, honestly, there's no one better suited in the United States Senate to manage a crisis like this, to end a crisis like this, than Mitch McConnell. There's no one who has more apt experience for how you make a problem like this go away. I mean, calling for Roy Moore to drop out of the Senate race in Alabama is a thing. Calling for Alabama voters to reject him and vote for his opponent instead, that's a thing. But Roy Moore isn't just trying to win a random contest. He's trying to join something. He's trying to join the United States Senate. And that body has considerable say over whether or not Roy Moore gets to do that. And yes, they could wait until after the election to start working then on expelling Roy Moore once he gets to Washington. But the Senate could also begin holding hearings on Roy Moore right now and his fitness as a potential United States senator. They could start taking care of this today. And Mitch McConnell absolutely knows how to do that. It's not like this is a dilemma with no way out. They could start this now. The model is there. It's their own history. They invented this model. They have done it before. Great Steve Kornack, who joins us next. Stay with us.
Look how she shot it. She's so stupid. Now, this was before when they thought Roy Moore was going to win. Now that you play this after Roy Moore was ousted, now it's suspect, isn't it? Why wasn't there an ethics committee hearing? They're so stupid. Because they were afraid that he was going to win. But what they did was they stole the election instead. Because The propaganda wasn't working. Now, as far as the senator she referenced, I can't say one way or the other those were true or not. They were in a diary, so the fact is that they might have been true. Let's take a look at this this article. Now, this is from an Alabama-based website. It's called AL.com, Alabama.com. That's what it's called. And the name of the article is Thousands of GOP Voters Sat This One Out. All right? And I'm going to read it. And this is by Ann Claire Voller, so if you want to try to figure out who she is and see who she comes from, you can do that as well. It says, on Election Day, tens of thousands of Republican voters across Alabama stayed home. Many voters who cast ballots for Trump 1 year ago weren't willing to show up for Roy Moore. In some Alabama counties like Houston County in South Alabama and Limestone County in Northern Alabama, Moore pulled roughly half the votes Trump got in 2016. Meanwhile, the vote totals Democrat Doug Jones tracked closely with the totals for Hillary Clinton. Isn't that something? That means while the Democrats didn't gain ground and didn't pick up any large numbers of crossovers, the Republicans saw their supporters sit this one out, which is not true. Moore underperformed Donald Trump statewide with about 640,000 votes to Trump's 1.3 million votes. By comparison, Jones tracked much closer to Clinton with 654,000 votes to about 730,000 for Clinton. Moore fared much worse than Trump in reliability red places like Limestone County. So you see what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a narrative that people are breaking from Donald Trump. That's what they're trying to build, this narrative. And then they eventually want to try to impeach Trump on the same situation of sexual misconduct, because they can't beat him on the issues, because they are in lockstep with him. It's a game, brothers and sisters. This is why we need to quit playing this duopoly game, running on this duopoly rat wheel, and join the Green Party. It's real simple. And, you know, I know people, oh, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm fed up. There's a difference. Moore fared much worse than Trump in reliable red places like Limestone County, west of Huntsville. Clinton and Jones both got around 9,000 votes there. But Roy Moore underperformed Trump by half. See how they keep saying underperformed him? It says more than 22,000 Alabamians wrote in a candidate, a significant number in a race where about 20,000 votes separated the candidates. So they're all yay for the write-in candidates, but it's just so funny. You see, that's okay. The gap in enthusiasm was evident. There you go. There's the narrative right there. There's the thesis to this story. Republicans didn't seem willing to throw many watch parties even before returns started coming in. Groups like Jefferson County and Shelby County Republican parties told AL.com they were not holding official election night events. In fact, AL was unable to find any official Republican election night except the main Moore campaign event in Montgomery. All of that stuff is a bunch of lies. What they did is they stole it from them. I want you guys to listen to this. Now, this is a liberal talking about the election, right? Let's listen.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And on the line with us is Bob Fitrakis. He is the attorney, author, professor of political science in the Social and Behavioral Sciences Department at Columbus State Community College. Website is freepress. Do I have this right, Bob? Is it freepress.org?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And the Twitter handle is freepress.org. And so, Bob, you have spent much of your life, it's been a while since we've talked on the radio here, but Over the last decade and a half, you and I have talked a number of times, particularly after and just before elections, about what the heck is going on with all of these bizarre Republican efforts to suppress the vote, and in particular the peculiarities of the voting machines. That's not quite the right word, but so what are you hearing about what's going on with this Alabama election?
Well, Alabama seems to be involved in repeating a problem that that's occurred in a variety of different elections. Is there's scanning machines. The problem is that they want to turn off the audit logs, and particularly the image scanners, the high-speed image scanners. Which are there. I mean, these evolved out of the banking industry, right? So It allows you to audit and compare the actual vote to, in fact, a image of a vote cast. So it's almost foolproof. The problem is you can program in these in a variety of ways. There's tremendous concern that there may be a large number of overvotes because for some reason they put the straight party vote, you know, left over from the old yellow dog Dixocrats, and a vote for Senate. So people might think they're marking to show they're a Democrat or Republican, and then they might vote, and that probably would be rejected by the machine as an overvote.
Right.
And there was a tremendous problem in 2004 in Ohio. 90,000 votes were never counted, primarily in the Toledo area, because of just such a problem.
And that was the one where John Kerry lost that election specifically because of Ohio.
Absolutely. And 117,000 votes were never counted, which was the margin of districts, and they were all in heavily Democratic areas. I've sued over this very issue, and there were really odd numbers in Ohio. Donald Trump was supposed to win by a half of 1%. He won by 10 percentage votes. When I sued, 14 counties won the right not to turn on their security equipment, not to turn on their audit logs, and not to turn on the ballot image makers. And it makes no sense. I mean, you go out and buy the state-of-the-art security systems, and then you don't turn them on?
Well, you don't turn them on if you're planning to rig an election.
John Brakey, I don't know if you saw, at 118, they won their temporary restraining order.
Yes, Greg Palast was on in the last hour, and he mentioned that, and that's really good news. So does that mean that the machines are going to be capturing these images and that there will be the images available for an audit and that the audit may be performed if the race is tight?
Well, it depends on the judge and the orders that are, will be sent out. I've been in numerous lawsuits on this stuff, and in 2008, we got a great order from a judge which told the Secretary of State exactly what he would be telling people who showed up and were being turned down because they didn't have a driver's license, which was not the law in Ohio. Also, in 2012, I filed two suits, one in federal court where the judge dismissed it, but one in state court where the Judge Surgut, kept the election open for 30 days for our side to let him know whether the numbers looked funny or not. And we were going, looking at stuff that was significantly outside the margin of error. But I think just getting that order caused the numbers to look much, much better. So it really depends on what order goes out and who it goes to, probably the Secretary of State, and whether or not they're going to comply with that order.
Right, right. So are there other concerns beyond... I mean, you know, this is there are some who argue that this was how the election, Don Siegelman's election in 2002, was stolen from him by Bob Riley's campaign, and you know the Karl Rove folks associated with that by base.
Okay, so now they're going based though against Republicans. Did you listen to what they were saying? Always remember this: whatever the Democrats accuse the Republicans of, the Democrats are doing. And whatever the Republicans accuse the Democrats of doing, the Republicans are doing. So the Democrats are accusing the Republicans of potentially rigging an election through these machines, and the Democrats are the ones who rigged the election through those machines. You see how they tell on themselves? They're so stupid. Rachel Maddow trying to build a case for Mitch McConnell to get Roy Moore out, and they end up winning through the thieving of the election. So now Rachel Maddow's got a piece out there that makes her look like a fool. And then you got Tom Hartman, who's a liberal Democrat, supposedly, but he's establishment. He started out on our side, but eventually moved establishment because he needed money. I'll stay broke before I go establishment because I want to hashtag break up the duopoly. That's what we should be doing because it's all manipulation. You see? Make you think the guy's a pedophile and it's okay to steal the election for Doug Jones. They did that. So it said it would cause an overcount, right? So that means that those votes weren't counted. So when those thousands of GOP voters stayed home, guess what? No, they didn't. They were not counted. And this is why I thought Roy Moore was going to win, because I was on the actual numbers. This is a fraud. Which is why I was shocked that he won and I had to do that retraction. But I wasn't wrong. Listen to this. This is from the Decatur Daily.com. More leads exit polls amid steady turnout. This is around the time when I was reporting that MSM was stupid for the allegations because that made them vote for him. But it says two Lawrence County poll inspectors called voter turnout steady. And exit polls showed that former Chief Justice Roy Moore had a sizable lead. By 10:06, voters had cast their ballots at the county's largest precinct. The Lawrence County Board of Education officer on Market Street and Multan, Gail Lou Allen, poll inspector there, said the voters were coming in a steady stream and mostly for Roy Moore. At Multan City Hall, Precinct 24, Box 1, poll inspector Doris Evans said her polling site had 35 voters in, but there were no lines at the time, but it has been steady, she said. A 35-minute exit poll at Lawrence County Board of Education office polling site showed Moore with a 14% lead on Doug Jones and one write-in vote for Auburn University running back Keon Johnson of Madison, and other voters with no comment. The poll was conducted at 10:10 to 10:45. And at the same time, mainstream media is bulldozing you with that Doug Jones won. And the exit polls show that it was in his favor. And Trump even came out and said congratulations to Doug Jones, which further shows you know he's a part of the game. Because if he was actually for Roy Moore, he would be telling Roy Moore to contest the election. And by the way, Roy Moore has not conceded the election because the allegations against him are false. The women came out and said that the signature that she had in the yearbook that Roy Moore supposedly signed was a fraud. That came out. I'm not supporting a Republican or a Democrat. I'm just showing you how crooked both sides are at fighting each other, but at the same time are on the same team. It's theater. Meanwhile, the election is being stolen. I don't give a damn who it is. It was stolen. And the Democrats did it with the help of establishment Republicans like Mitch McConnell. which is hypocrisy, when he stood up to go against that one Republican back in 92. So let's take a look at this. This is also from Alabama.com. It's a local website for Alabama. And this is from Lita Gore. And this is the aftermath. Doug Jones pulled off a massive upset Tuesday night. Massive upset. You see that? You see the wording they use, brothers and sisters? Massive upset. Why was it a massive upset? Because the voters voted for Roy Moore and they stole it. A blue seat in a solid red state, Jones, a former federal prosecutor, defeated Republican Roy Moore Tuesday night in a hard-fought battle that included allegations that GOP nominee had improper sexual contact with teenage girls in the 1970s. Moore has not conceded the race and said he will wait until the final numbers to see if a recount is required, because they're trying to find out where they can get people to see where the election fraud was. They're not going to do it because they are on the same squad, which is why we need to get the Green Party in there too, because a part of the Green Party's legislative goals is to deal with election fraud, brothers and sisters, and repeal Citizens United. But you waste your time voting for Democrats and Republicans who don't even bat an eyelash at Citizens United. Jones received 639,088 votes, or 50% to Moore's 629,749 votes, or 49%. That was exactly opposite of it. Was Roy Moore with 50% and Jones with 49 at 10:22 p.m. 11:27 p.m., Jones had 50, and Moore had 49. So I knew I wasn't crazy last night. I watched fraud unfold before my eyes. And just like everybody else, I mistook it for, oh, he must have pulled ahead. No, he didn't. Because by that time, most of all the counties had voted. Because in the South, everybody votes early. So the election was pretty much done. But they still had stragglers coming in from the second and third shift people. Bo Jackson actually commented on this. He said, "Happy 25th anniversary, Doug and Lois Jones. Congratulations on your win." Bo Jackson now. All these celebrities, they all just... Oh, we're so happy now that we can use this as a mandate against Trump and get him impeached. Decency wins, says Jeff Flake. Alyssa Milano, thank you for restoring my faith in humanity, Alabama, and thank you for fighting for what's right. And thank you to every volunteer who knocked on doors, made phone calls, and tirelessly stole the election. She ain't say that, but she said and worked tirelessly to make this happen, which they stole it. And then even Donald Trump comes out and says, "Congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor." Come on, Trump. But a win is a win. "The people of Alabama are great, and the Republicans will have another shot at this seat in a very short period of time. It never ends." So Trump is bowing out on this one and not going to fight because he's got other fish to fry. I'm imagining that's what his issue is. And they're going to wait 2 years because this seat is up for re-election in 2 years. And I'm assuming Roy Moore is going to go back at it 2 years from now with ammunition of them lying on him in this election. Donna Brazil also chimed in. Of all of the hypocrites who could chime in, she did and said, 50 years after the murder of Addie Mae Collins, and here she comes with her identity politics. Cynthia Wesley, Caroline Robertson, and Carol Denise McNair at the 16th Street Baptist Church. It was Doug Jones who made sure that the last of their killers faced justice. Now Doug is going to Washington, D.C. as a U.S. Senator. because we helped him steal the election. Why do you think Donna Brazile is speaking? Now, this is the day after, brothers and sisters. Better believe that I'm going to have all the evidence for you guys, and I'm going to give it all to you guys and show you that they stole this election. Don't worry. You know me. I prove what I say. Now look what Roy Moore is going to do. Let's listen.
Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore announces he will sue the Washington Post over its allegations of sexual misconduct. One America's Christian Rose has more on the alleged political attack against Moore.
Alabama Senate candidate Judge Roy Moore announces his plans to sue the Washington Post for the paper's egregious accusations against him, his family, and his campaign. He made the announcement at a special event Sunday, where he received a series of standing ovations from those in attendance. This after the Washington Post, owned by billionaire entrepreneur Jeff Bezos, published several pieces targeting Judge Moore's public image with unproven allegations of sexual misconduct.
I have not been guilty of sexual misconduct with anyone. These allegations came only 4.5 weeks before the general election on December 12th. Why now?
Bezos is known as a prominent Democrat donor and opponent to President Trump. Meanwhile, a series of recent reports have demonstrated inconsistencies in the accusations against Judge Moore. Leah Korfman, one of his alleged victims, claimed in the Washington Post article she spoke with Moore on the phone in her bedroom, but according to her mother Nancy Wells, she did not have a phone in her room. Another report details the Washington Post's efforts to reach out to the alleged victims. Wells says it was the paper that contacted her daughter with an offer to tell what's supposed to be her story. Korfman, who according to the Washington Post has a history of drug abuse, bankruptcies, and was at some point $140,000 in debt, accepted the Washington Post's offer.
But it's interesting. The Bezos Amazon Washington Post that dropped that dime on Donald Trump is the same Bezos Amazon Washington Post that dropped the dime this afternoon on Judge Roy Moore. Now, is that a coincidence?
Another alleged victim of Judge Moore's misconduct is Deborah Wesson Gibson of Alabama, who previously worked for Hillary Clinton's campaign. After the Washington Post published her story, Gibson deleted multiple postings from her Facebook page, including her photo with former Vice President Joe Biden and her post in support of Moore's Democrat opponent, Doug Jones.
Roy Moore is somebody who graduated from West Point. He served our country in Vietnam. He's been elected multiple times statewide in Alabama. Mm-hmm. The people in Alabama know Roy Moore better than we do here in D.C.
Meanwhile, a recent poll revealed Alabama voters are not buying into the accusations against Judge Moore. An Emerson College survey conducted in the immediate aftermath of the Washington Post articles showed 55% of voters support Moore, while only 45% of voters favor his Democrat opponent. The poll also showed only 28% of respondents were affected by the Washington Post's speculative narrative.
It's a true allegation. Someone is trying to cook up a story. Now, any allegations that are made would not change my perception of Roy Moore.
The unfounded attacks against Judge Moore reflect the fierce resistance of the bipartisan political establishment in D.C. to President Trump's agenda of draining the swamp by any means necessary. Christian Rose, One American News.
So you could see it's all a bias. Roy Moore was supported by Trump. Trump endorsed him and campaigned for him, so the Democrats stole it so that they could have a perception that they're winning this fight between the establishment duopoly, and they're not winning. The Republicans are winning. They're winning the info war, as Alex Jones would call it. They're winning. But they should, because the Democrats are playing dirty tricks. So it's easy for the Republicans to win. And now look, now everything's shifted back to the Republicans of being the good guys. And then that's going to go on for 10 years. And then they're going to turn bad, and the Democrats are going to shift back to being the good guys. It's a big circle, guys. You're being had. Quit playing with the duopoly and come home to the Green Party. It's the only one that's really for you. 68% of Americans agree with the Green Party platform, and ain't nobody doing nothing. What the hell is you guys' problem? All the information is there for you. Well, you know what it is? You're partisan, and you lie and say you're not. You're a Democrat. You want to say you're an independent. No, you're a Democrat. You're simple as that. And guess who all came out against Roy Moore? All Democrats. All those chicks with allegations, they all supported Hillary Clinton. So they're deleting all their Facebook posts and all of that. And again, I am not supporting Roy Moore. I support the truth. The truth is Roy Moore got taken for a ride by the duopoly establishment. It's that simple. So that's the show, brothers and sisters. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm seeing about 403 people listening in. Thank you all for listening in. We are about out of time, so I said I'd take your calls. I'm very sorry. I didn't realize this would take this long. I do apologize, but I will try to make the shows longer, but I have to wait till this contract runs out, and then when this contract runs out, then I can, you know, vie for more time and have longer shows so that we can take calls. And I'll probably designate specific shows to take calls so that we don't have this issue, because I know some people were inboxing me and they left messages on Facebook and Twitter about, hey, man, you got callers in the queue. I was one of them, and you didn't answer. And then a number of people came to me with that. So I'll make sure in the future to take you guys' calls. So please forgive me for not being able to do that. It's like 9 of them in the queue right now. So, and I can't take them all because we got like 8 minutes left in regulation. So I just want to conclude. When mainstream media is reporting something, always be on the opposite, because they're not reporting anything for your benefit. They're reporting it for the benefit of their bottom line, and their bottom line is to keep their lifestyle and grow it by any means necessary. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters, power and influence. So the Democrats want to try to take the Congress back in 2018 so they can continue to push their Russian collusion lie, their Russia lie, that Trump should have never won lie, so that they could say, oh, we're back to normal. That was just a fluke, everybody. We're okay now. But what happened is their arrogance got the best of them, and they allowed someone who they thought was a clown become president. If we do not move towards supporting the Green Party, we will become a dictatorship. We're halfway there now, brothers and sisters. Believe it or not, Trump is undoing the dictatorship for his legacy purpose. See, Trump wants to be remembered. He doesn't want to be remembered like Obama. He wants to be loved by the people. So he do a whole bunch of good stuff for the people, but still do forward the duopoly's policies, especially in foreign policy. But I have to give it to him. ISIS is out of Iraq. ISIS is almost out of Syria. Bashar al-Assad is still the president of that country. If we had a Hillary Clinton presidency, we would be in World War III right now, brothers and sisters, because the red line was a no-fly zone in Syria, and Hillary was going to cross that red line with Russia as she was in collusion with them, and they were standing to make trillions off of World War III, as well as solidify their new world order. But we got Trump, and he ended a lot of the stuff that we were upset with, but also enacted the things that Obama couldn't get done. So best believe, brothers and sisters, just because Trump's got a wild hair up his ass and he does things that the duopoly doesn't accept at times, please understand this brother is still a part of the duopoly, even though his originates from the Reform Party that Ross Perot came from. That's the party Trump comes from. And then he went Democrat, then Republican. Bernie Sanders comes from the Liberty Union Party, then went independent, then went Democrat. Now he's independent. But it's all a farce because they're not independent. They suck the teat of the duopoly. The real independents are the Green Party members. So if you call yourself an independent and say you just vote for the person who's the best, you're a damn liar and you're lying to yourself. You're who you vote for. If you voted for a Democrat that year, you were a Democrat that year. If you voted for the Republican the next election cycle, you're a Republican for that election cycle. You are who you vote for, brothers and sisters. Political parties are not going anywhere. This is the only way to garner power and influence in this country is through political parties. Why do you think they started in the first place? To gather a collective group of people into a majority so that they could have say over policy, period. And that's what we got to do. How do we do it? Join your local Green Party, your county or city Green Party, and go to the meetings, whether they're boring or not, because I hate going because they're boring and they last forever, boring. But we're going to have to make it fun. We're going to have to play some cards or something, Talk about the issues. Teach each other. Have teaching sessions. Make it fun. Make it engaging. Become friends. Bring food. Whatever it takes to make it that these are my family members and I need to visit them at least once a month. Because that's where our meetings are. Well, in our city, our meetings are once a month. Actually, it was one today, 7 to 9. So we got to do this, brothers and sisters. We have to leave the duopoly. We have to break up the duopoly. We have to green enter. You have to. There's no other way. Because you got to help us get rid of the co-opters who are in our party trying to take it over because they know that the duopoly is about done. So you got to help us take down these co-opters who claim to be helping the Green Party, but 13 years after the greatest election, 17 years after the greatest election the Green Party has ever had, where are we? 2 million votes less than 2,000. That's where we are. And you call that growth? You call that helping the Green Party, Mr. Leaders and Sister Leaders of the Green Party? If we would have never, ever aligned with Democrats, we would be in Congress. We may not be in majority, but I guarantee you we'd be in Congress. We'd at least have 5-6 senators and about 20-30 representatives in the House. I guarantee it if we stayed on the same pace as 2000. But we all know what happened in 04, don't we, brothers and sisters? So I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Let's paint it green. Let's paint it green, brothers and sisters. Let's paint it green. Thank you again for listening in. Until we meet again at the appointed time. Good night, everybody.
go turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you.